Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Lohse. And we've been talking with Peter Janowski, who's my partner, but Ryan Janowski. And at the break, we were actually talking with also with Dan, who is the general manager extraordinaire, who makes everything possible here, and Christina Luke. So now we got everybody. Otto, you were saying something. Then Dan, you're going to be part of it.
Well, yeah, I think where we were is this new CARE Act. And seniors, one of the options I understand is you do not have to take your required minimum distribution. And where we were on the break is talking that Dan pointed out how his IRA has dropped down. And that happens to a senior as well, but then they end up with maybe not enough time for it to rebound, all right, depending on how old you are. You know, if you're in your 30s, you got the hope that it's going to come back.
Well, I'm fortunate that I'm still paying into it, and I don't withdraw from it yet, so I can wait it out. I mean, a lot of people who are not retired yet can just wait it out, which I'm doing. But you can't. So I wanted to ask Peter, you know, when they take that hit, I mean, that's got to be a big. How do you compensate for that as an advisor when they take the kind of hit like that, and maybe they don't have the years that I do to kind of recover?
Well, you know what? A lot of what we do is we have to go back and look at history sometimes, because it's there's no other reference point. You know, we have to, what happened during the Great Depression? What happened during this? What happened during that? What was the market's reaction when something bad happened? But at the same time, what were interest rates? So just, I'm going to circle around for a second. So you had a really bad economic time in the 70s, right? You had oil crises. You had Watergate. You had the end of Vietnam. New York City was broke. The stock market wasn't doing well at all, but you could get a 10% CD. All right.
Yeah. They had extraordinary interest rates back then. I remember my father actually did pretty well during that time period towards the end of it.
So now,
because the money market rates were so high in those days. Why was that?
That's like a whole nother conversation, why the interest rates are high. But just to give you an example of how we think, and I'm going to answer your question about what happens when the market drops like this. So you want to make a comparison. Back then, what drove the market up to bring it back? You know, they were able to lower interest rates, different economic policies, different fiscal policies, monetary policies, and it came back. But, you know, the comparison thing is, believe it or not, what you just said is very common for the posture these days. I have time to wait for it to come back. It doesn't always come back like that. So now, if you have 10 or 12 years, if you're 55 years old and you just took this hit and you have a plan to retire at 65, okay, guess what? Worst case scenario that John and I experienced, and you can even go back in history and look at this, Depression, was that it could take 10 or 12 years and you could be flat depending when you went in and when you want to come out. And you never really want to come out, because at some point you have to have your money to grow. So going back to the comparison I made with the 70s was that, well, in the 70s, you had options of where to put your money. Here, you really don't.
One concern throughout all of this, anytime I visit anyone, social distancing, I'm like, what am I going to do if I have to go to the bathroom?
You get 0.5%. You're never going to come back like that, correct? Right. So let's just say you're 55 years old in 1999, and you're invested aggressively. The internet bubble happens. 9/11 happens. The financial crisis happens in 2008. Okay. So from 1999 to 2009, the money you put in the stock market was basically flat. You didn't make anything, you didn't lose anything. But it really didn't do anything if it helped you get through retirement, right? And obviously, if you went in 2006 and 2007, it took you even longer to come back. But if you had a balanced portfolio, you may have gotten a total return of somewhere between 4% and 6%, because the bond market was doing well. So now we know plenty of people that have this feeling that, don't worry, I have time, it's going to come back. Maybe, maybe not. That's not guaranteed. Nothing's guaranteed in life. Nothing's guaranteed that this market's going to come back. We, like I said earlier, when we first started this show, we had a heck of a bounce from the lows in March. All right. And we might hit other lows. We don't know that. That's what John was saying before. I'm not calling the low. We had a heck of a bounce. But how much of that bounce is going to be sustained when we have a possible 20% unemployment? How could people be talking about the world is going to be so different, yet the market's going to come back? In my mind, it's like it's a contradictory conversation that somebody could have with themselves. People are going to be working from home more. There's going to be less demand for office space. A lot of jobs will never come back. A lot of businesses will never come back. So how could you say the market's going to come back? You know, and I said, you got to be careful. What's leading the market now, like has led in the last few years, there's a big overweighting in very few stocks that's driving the market. If you're, and I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that you have to be careful that if you're balanced and you have all different sectors in your portfolio, you might not be capturing that bounce because it's very, very focused on a few stocks that's leading that bounce, which also means that it could also incur more risk. The less balance you have, the more risk you're going to have. So I'm not trying to predict the future, but in my mind, it's a very hard thing to say, oh, you know, it's going to come back. Oh yeah, but things are going to be different. If things are so different, change, what makes you think it's going to come back? You know, during the Great Depression, the market crashed in 29, but the market had a really bad fallout in 32. That was 3 years later. And it was a horror show in the 30s. And let's face it, the only thing that brought us out of that was World War II. And the government, looking back, you know, a lot of critics could say that, you know, a lot of things were done wrong. Of course, it was the first time they would do it. They experienced something like this. But Hoover raising taxes was probably not a good idea. Then, you know, Roosevelt came in with a New Deal and all sorts of things that had to clean that up a little bit. But again, if it wasn't for World War II, it wouldn't have gotten us out of that. I don't think we're going to go through a Great Depression. Certain sectors might feel like a depression, though. There are certain stores and airlines they're talking about might not come back. We're talking about major, major unemployment. Now, think about this, too. The government in the last 3-4 years has been lowering taxes and lowering interest rates, which drove the market, right? But we've created all this debt. How are we not going to repay this debt if we don't raise taxes? What happens when you raise taxes? It could slow the economy even more a little bit, right? So, I mean, I'm not, you know, these are open-ended questions, but these are just things to think about. When people have this posture, oh, it's going to come back. I'll just wait for it to come back. Okay, what if you wait 15 years? Who knows? We think it's going to be very choppy for the next year or two. There's a ridiculous amount of debt. And personally, I can't see us coming out of it raising taxes somewhere along the line.
The other thing which I think is important right now, and I am agreeing, we're in May. Come June, the unemployment number is going to be another 12 million people added on. It's going to be staggering. In my mind, we have about 155 million people working. We're going to definitely be over 20% unemployment, 25% possibly. So therefore, you have to look, which is our philosophy, what does your money do for you? And not talking about age, but between Dan and Otto and myself, we're three different ages. So you have to invest with your age or what you want the money to do with. So if you want income, I'm much more conservative because I don't know how long I'm going to work. I mean, you know, if they keep adding stuff to the computers, people are going to put me out. So I need to supplement my income. So I'm definitely much more conservative because I want the money. At some point, I'm going to turn around and say, listen, I want so much a month. And I don't want to do that when I look and say, oh, my God, I'm down 50%. So that changes everything. And that came to light years ago, like in 2008, so many teachers. You know, their 401ks were cut in half. And money market went from 5% to 1.5%. Well, their whole plan went out the window. But their plan went out the window because they really didn't have a plan. They kept saying my 300, my 400, my 500,000, and my 401k is going to be great. No, at one point you got to lock it in and say, what do I need a month? I'm there. So if you want 1,500 a month, 2,000, 20, whatever the number is, when you see you've achieved it, why go further? I'm a believer in like, that's silly. You want to go further for fun. Divide up your account and put 10% in a separate account and so-called play the market, which is a terrible expression, but if that's what you want to do, fine. Dan is a different, so he could turn around and he was sharing how he used the, you know, the purchasing power to pay off a wedding and then pay back. If you went to a bank,
you would have gotten wrong. And Otto was talking about credit cards. Credit cards are what, 13, 14%? So if you can borrow now, even a senior, and pay off that credit card with a loan from your 401k or your IRA or whatever you have from a qualified money perspective, and you're paying yourself back. Yeah, it makes sense. And it gives you that breathing room. So the biggest thing anybody has to do is save. And that's why when we go to some of these charter schools we're involved with, and they're young girls in their 20s, we push them. It's like, honey, put $50, do something. Because the day is going to come, it's going to be so nice to have it there. Versus, it's a philosophy. It's when I don't go along with it. They come in with $500 Gucci bags, but they can't put anything into their 403B. It's like, honey, come on. I got three daughters. You got to do something. You know, that's our rant.
You know, going back to this CARES Act thing for a minute here.
Yeah.
Going back again to the skipping of what seniors can do is to skip the required minimum distribution.
Right.
And I'm thinking out loud that if the value of your IRA went down, you can kind of offset that a little bit by skipping the distribution that you can get away with skipping this time.
Right. You also, you know what, for some people, depending on their age and if they're eligible, it may make sense to skip the RMD and do a bit of a Roth conversion. They could take IRA, they could convert it into a Roth IRA. If you're eligible within the limits, especially the income limits, okay? If you're 60s, early 70s, and this may be a good year to do a little bit of a Roth conversion, because you're not paying the income tax on RMD if you're in that situation. You could take that difference, whatever the RMD was, or even a little bit more, calculate what your taxes are going to be and convert it to a Roth. Going forward, you don't have to take RMDs from a Roth because you're paying the taxes on it when you do the conversion, and it can continue to grow tax deferred. For some people, yeah, you'd have to talk to your tax advisor about.
Those are all individual things. Right. I mean, the biggest piece of it, I think, is consider that the market took such a hit, and if you take 20,000 Zs from your 401k or your 403b, it's nice to leave it there and hope it comes back, especially if you don't need it. Also, you're not going to pay taxes on it this year, so it's a little bit of a double whammy. I mean, you know, most seniors are in the 20-25% bracket. It's not like, or even 15, not like you know, they're working, etc. But every little bit helps. But those are the two options that people have with the CARE Act. There's other ones too, where the loan for $100,000 and different things. But basically, again, that is more for an accountant. All these things should be looked into because they're all individualized. Some make sense for people and some absolutely don't. We've got to go for another break. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. And we've had Peter Janowski on the program with us this morning.